The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Go to am1260therock.com and click on the orange donate button.
Inevitably, all of us will ask God this one important question.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here? What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God calling.
Then everything can seem so clear. AM 1260 The Rock presents God Calling. This locally produced program looks closer at stories of religious vocations from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. And now here's your host, Paul Orlowski.
Welcome back. This is AM 1260. I'm Paul Orlowski, and Father Dave Pavanka is joining us today. He is president of Franciscan University, as well as being a Franciscan friar of the First Order. Father, first of all, welcome to The Rock.
Good. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here. And I hate to actually start with a correction, but I'm actually of the Third Order, and it's important because there's a difference between the two, so I'm sure we'll probably get to that.
The Third Order regular. T.O.R.?
Right, exactly.
Okay.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, we've had some of the nuns on from the Third Order regular. They're in Toledo, Ohio, I believe.
Okay,
right. If I'm not mistaken. A couple of them. Always interesting conversations, that's for sure.
Great, wonderful.
Interesting in that you're one of the folks that every now and again we come across somebody that always kind of had an inkling that maybe you were being called to religious life.
Yeah, I actually blame it on my mom and my dad. There's six kids, but five boys in my family, and Mom and Dad said that they prayed every day of their married life that one of their kids would serve the church. And so I joked that me and my brothers got together and we pulled straws. And I won or I lost, depending on how their kids are behaving. But no, it was always in the back of my mind.
Literally prayed every day for someone in the family to serve the church.
Yeah, exactly. And the reality is it was, you know, I'm sure that it was part that I was raised in a home that Mom and Dad had faith and the church was central important, but it wasn't just something they talked about. It was seen every day, and I saw my mom and dad pray. I saw my mom and dad put priority in the sacraments, so it was just a part of my growing up.
And you were always serious about your faith, you said in an article that I read.
Yeah. I mean, I always qualify that to say that I was not perfect, but faith was always important to me. I mean, I prayed long after whether or not my mom and dad were paying attention to it. You know, always Mass was always central to me. So I'd be on vacation with my friends, you know, in early college, and going to Mass was just a non-negotiable. It was always a part of it. So, yeah, there was a personal decision and personal choice and commitment to the Lord and to the church that was made fairly early.
When did you decide to actually pull the trigger to do it?
That's a great question. I like that. Well, I was attending a school. I'm born and raised in Colorado, and I was attending a school out there studying poli-sci, pre-law, that type of area of study. But I just couldn't quite shake the vocation question. So I actually took a year off. They call them gap years now. We call it dropping out back then, but we call it gap year. It's a better sound. And I went and I spent a year, just a wonderful year, with an organization called the National Evangelization Team. It's out of St. Paul, Minnesota. And I spent 11 months traveling around the United States putting on retreats for young people. And it was really the main reason was, you know, to get away from school, to get away from a girlfriend, to get away from a small town. And God, what do you want me to do? And just give him some space and an opportunity to speak to that. And that's actually where I heard about Franciscan University in Steubenville. And honestly, by the time I transferred into Franciscan, I was pretty sure that this is what God wanted me to do. So I changed my major. I began to study philosophy and theology because I knew that that would be important. But I guess I finally made the decision that I began application processes and those kinds of things. When I was about 22, I was a junior here at the university, and I was pretty sure that this was the step that the Lord wanted me to make.
You call that trip across the country with 11 others the most formative experience that you ever had in your life.
Yeah, certainly the foundation for it is, I mean, it's pretty remarkable living in a small environment. You know, we were traveling around in a van, so there was five men and six women, and all loved the Lord and wanted to serve the Lord and serve the church and really be about evangelization and ministry, which was a great. The ministry was great, but the thing that's so formative is working with men and women and just living together and supporting each other and driving each other crazy. And what does it look like to be patient with each other and kind with each other and forgiving with each other? One of the things that was just, I mean, really good for me was, you know, most of my education previously was from a secular background, and you know, I was kind of unique in my high school. We didn't have a Catholic high school where I grew up.
Okay.
So I was kind of the religious one. So to be around other people who had the same desires and dreams that I did, but even in that, realizing, oh my goodness, even though we all love God, doesn't mean that there aren't going to be frustrations or difficulties or struggles or conflicts or personality issues. And to be able to be in those situations where we learned how to deal with that and how to process and how to pray through and how to work through it was just a really wonderful experience. I would highly say, if somebody isn't sure what you're supposed to do, you're of, you know, young adult age, spending a year with NET or something like that is really, really beneficial.
You were well trained for that growing up with five siblings.
That's the truth. That's
sure.
The truth. But honestly, one of the stories I tell from that is one of the guys on my team was an only child, and he and I drove each other crazy because he was, you know, I say he was used to the whole world surrounding around him, and I was used to having to share my toys, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you know, the beginning of the year was really difficult between the two of us, but I also, by the end of the year, it was really a testimony of God's faithfulness, is that we began to recognize each other's gifts and talents and what was beautiful about that individual, not just about what they weren't, but what they were. And it turned out to be, again, very formative, that not something was wrong with him, but he was just a different experience, and I needed to be able to learn how to work through that.
Your parents are Bob and Margie, and really through some of her sufferings, it was really kind of moving what you wrote about that, that you watched her and how she dealt with the suffering she was dealt with MS.
Yeah, right. So when I was maybe 5 years old, my mom was diagnosed, it's Margie, and she was diagnosed with MS, and it had an impact on the family. It's funny, I was just thinking about this yesterday. All the boys in my family, as well as my sister, obviously, know how to cook. And the reason we know how to cook is because sometimes we just had to take turns, that mom wasn't able to do it for one reason or another. So there was a sense of coming together. There was a sense of seeing something that was difficult. But knowing that the Lord was in the midst of it and the Lord was present to it. So, yes, it was difficult. It's only Christians can say this, right? It was difficult, it was suffering, but it was also beautiful. And that's obviously the nature of the cross, is if we can see it through eyes of faith, it can become beautiful.
I want to talk in just a minute. We're going to take a commercial break. But why you were drawn to the Franciscan Order, if you can think about that, we'll get to that. When we come back on God Calling, I'm Paul Orlowski, and we're with Father Dave Pavanka, president of Franciscan University. Stay tuned. Thanks for staying with us. I'm Paul Orlowski with Father Dave Pavanka on the phone with us from Franciscan University. He is the president there, Franciscan friar of the Third Order, Third Order regular. And Father, again, thanks so much for joining us. We really, really appreciate it. You use a term in an article I read that a good priest friend of mine uses, and that is metanoia, constant conversion. Can you talk about that a little bit? Because as you go through life, you got to change, but some things have to stay the same, but you got to grow, I guess.
Yeah, sure. I mean, and it's such a Catholic principle. Is at the beginning of the scriptures, Jesus says, you know, the kingdom of God is at hand in the very beginning of Matthew. And he says, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. And that word repent, the Greek word that he uses is metanoia. And we use that, there's not a single definition for what that word means. So obviously, part of it means repent. The word practically means to change or to turn. And we as Catholics, we believe that an individual isn't just once saved, always saved, but this conversion, this place of coming to conversion is a process that one goes through. That, you know, I hope that I'm more faithful, I hope I'm more charitable, I hope I'm more virtuous today than I was a year ago. And that process of that ongoing conversion and transformation is called metanoia. And you'd asked earlier about my desire for this particular community. Well, that word is conversion. Metanoia, another word that they use for that metanoia is conversion. And Metanoia is really the main charism of my Franciscan community. Not to get too deep in the woods, but Francis started three orders. We like to joke, it took him three times to get it right. The first order may not think that's as funny as we do, but we think it's hysterical. But the main charism of the third order is the sense of conversion, this ongoing conversion, this process that we can always grow in our love of the Lord, we can always grow in our experience of His love for us, and charity and compassion and kindness and mercy, that's an ongoing process that the Lord directs and guides us to. So when I first heard that the charism of my community, I think I was actually on net when I first heard the word metanoia, and it just resonated in my heart. I said, yes, that this is a lifelong process. It's not like I got it all figured out today. Thank the Lord. And I love the scripture when it says the Lord is patient to allow our conversion, right? That mm-hmm. allows us to be
sure.
converted. So the Lord is patient with us so that we can go through this journey and process of metanoia.
Talking about conversion, you know, the world has become so polarized these days. Again, I read something that you wrote about Jesus. He didn't build walls around himself with his beliefs. He tore down walls. He went out and spent time with Pharisees, prostitutes, tax collectors, and St. Francis did a lot of the same stuff. According to this, it says he stood on the edge of the Umbrian Valley, looked out, and said, "The world's going to be my cloister."
Right, right.
It's, wow.
Yeah, and I don't think we speak of that enough. We, you know, in this time that we think of religious life the way we see it, right? You've got Franciscans and Dominicans, and they're out there and all that. Well, that was not the case when Francis started the Franciscans, is that religious lived behind these walls, and, mm-hmm. and the rest of the community, the rest of the people served them and supported them, you know, outside the wall. Well, Francis, you know, again, I don't want to go too deep in the woods, but I think it's a really beautiful image, is that all the cities in those times were walled cities, and Francis didn't want to be on the outside of the walls, because outside of the walls was the poor and the leper and the sick, and Francis didn't want to have anything to do with that. He encounters Jesus, he encounters conversion, and he feels more and more drawn outside the walls, outside the city walls. So both physically, metaphorically, that he called outside the walls. So when he started his religious community, Francis stands on the valley and says that we're not going to live cloistered. The world is going to be our cloister. And this was radically different for religious life at the time. You know, religious all lived inside the walls, and Francis said, that's not how we're going to do this. We're going to go out. We're going to be with the people. And that's particularly true with the Third Order regular. Individuals that he started, yeah.
In following your story, there seemed to be this constant coming back to Franciscan University, and I think at one point in time you said you're home, several different times. Talk about that and how important Franciscan is to you, and now you, thankfully, being the president.
Yeah, thank you. Well, I transferred to Franciscan University, and I got my degree here, and then it was funny, when I moved here, the first time as a student, 21-year-old student transfer, my mom and dad were actually leaving my hometown, leaving the home I grew up in, and I really kind of felt homeless because I didn't know where. So I remember landing and coming here, and I said, I guess I'm home. Mm-hmm. And that's really been my story over the last many years, is that over the years, I came back and I did some work while I was in seminary at Franciscan University, and then my first assignment was at Franciscan University, and then I spent some time in Austria with our study abroad program, and I would always come back to Franciscan University. And then when I was interviewed for the position, I met an individual here on campus, and just out of the blue, he said to me, even before I was hired or anything, he said, oh, welcome back. It's good to have you home. And there's just something that resonated. I think every human heart is looking for a home, right? Mm-hmm. A place where, forgive the pun, from Cheers of years past that some people might remember.
Sure, everybody knows your name.
Yeah, everybody knows your name, right? That you can be yourself, you can be comfortable, you can be safe and be peaceful. And that's what Franciscan University has really been for me. So when I was welcomed back and elected to be the president, it was a great, great blessing to be able to be back at this place that I really love.
When you were ordained, it happened at Franciscan University.
Exactly. Right, right. I was ordained on campus as well. So many of the key significant events of my life have taken place here at the university.
I mean, it's just so enriching, and you can see what a university or any educational institution can do. But it did so much for you, and now you're in charge of passing that along, forming young people to be good Catholics and responsible individuals.
No, and that's really the nature of Catholic higher education. St. John Paul said that, you know, the purpose of education is is the kingdom of God. It's Christ. So that at Francis University, you know, people have often asked, what's the secret sauce? And I don't know that there is this great secret sauce, this great secret. Maybe I shouldn't put this out there, but it's really that. It's putting Christ at the center of the community and at the center of the academic endeavor. I mean, John Paul was huge on this theme, and that is that faith and reason are not in contradiction to one another. Rather, they illuminate one another. So there are people out there that would say, okay, Christ in the middle of the classroom, that doesn't make sense. Well, maybe for a non-Catholic institution, that doesn't make sense. Or for a Catholic institution, maybe that doesn't take that as serious as that I think they could. He's got to be at the center of everything. He's at the center of creation, or he isn't, right?
Mm-hmm.
To be able to recognize that and see that. I love telling a story. We're starting an engineering program here at the university, which is really exciting. And I was interviewing a gentleman who eventually we hired to be the head of our engineering program. And he said he was looking forward to coming to a Catholic university where we could talk about, you know, at Steubenville, at Franciscan, talk about the theology of engineering. And I had to admit, I said, there is a theology of engineering.
Wow.
But then he went on talking about the beauty of design and creation and taking an idea and bringing it to life. And I thought, okay, that's what makes this place different, is we're not just teaching the math that goes into engineering, but how does grace illuminate that? And how does theology illuminate that? So it's just a great place to be.
Father, we're going to be back after a break, if you'll stay with us, and we hope our listeners will as well, on God Calling, AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. Welcome back. This is Paul Orlowski. I'm God Calling. We're here every week at this time. Thanks for joining us. And, of course, we're always available on demand as well. Father Dave Pavanka, the president of Franciscan University, is joining us. And, Father, forming young people today, it's got to be more difficult because there's a lot of me-centered people in the world, and that's not what we're called to. Is it tougher, and how do you impart that to your faculty, that we got to build good Catholic, responsible
right.
people?
Right. Actually, that's such a great question, Paul. Let me say on one level, I participate with my faculty. That's one of the great blessings of being at Franciscan University. It's not merely me telling them that this is important. They recognize that and they see that and they embrace that. And it's one of the great blessings that we have at the university, is that it's the faculty, staff, administration really working together for that. But you are 100% absolutely right that the world that the young people are coming out of is much more toxic. It's much more divided. Honestly, it's much more, they're living and raised in a culture that is against the faith, whereas, you know, decades ago, not even that long ago, actually not even decades, you know, faith and religion and the church was seen as part of the solution to the struggles we're having in the world. Today, largely culture says that the church is the problem, right?
Mm-hmm.
So young people, even good kids, are being infected by that. And, you know, a world that has no objective truth, a world that says freedom is to do whatever you want, a world that says truth is believe whatever you believe. And, I mean, from the most basic questions, I always say that young people used to say, you know, who am I, who am I? And now it's these basic, what am I? And that's such a fundamental shift between those two things that it just means that the opportunities are greater for us now. And one of the things that we try to make very clear here is that we're trying to do something different here on campus, and that's creating a culture where young people can thrive, that they don't have to be ashamed of their faith, that they don't have to defend their faith here, that they can live it, that they can be formed in it, so that when they go, quote-unquote, out in the world, like Francis would say and Jesus would say, the nature of the incarnation is that God enters the world, that they're equipped to be able to do that. Do it with charity and humility, but also well-formed in the spiritual life and in whatever professional field that they're in, to make an impact there.
There's a well-known radio host here in Cleveland. He passed away now, but he had a saying, I live in a world I don't understand. And my wife has been saying that for about 4 or 5 years now, and because some of the stuff is very, very, very difficult to understand.
No, it is. It is. And again, the young people are just being sold a bill of goods, that it just is what it is. So, I mean, you've got craziness that's right now that's saying a man can have a baby. And for young people to actually, in some places, to actually say, well, that doesn't make any sense. I mean, they're going to be marginalized for how dare you question that? And and we've got to be able to give the young people tools and the capacity to engage that. It's okay. This is just a bridge too far. You know, we just can't bend that far. And that's, unfortunately, that's the world that the young people are coming out of.
In a speech in St. Louis, John Paul II told a group of young people, when you separate truth from freedom, the moral fabric of society begins to unravel. And I think that's going on.
That's absolutely. We're literally seeing that in front of our very eyes. Absolutely. He was prophetic in that.
When young people come in, and maybe they're questioning some basic things. I mean, like a man can have a baby, that craziness. But how do you begin to, I don't want to say evangelize, but begin to talk sense to them?
You can say evangelize, because it has to come back from two areas. That a Catholic institution should engage the mind and the intellect. So to take that example, that's not that difficult. I mean, put him in biology, put him in the science building that we have here, and you can talk about whether or not a man can have a baby, all right? But there also has to be, and this is, again, John Paul makes this really clear, that the heart must also be engaged. So it's not merely the intellect, it's the intellect as well as the heart, and engage both of those. And because I think there's a fundamental question about what's going on in a world that so many people are so struggling with identity and who they are and what they are and all those kinds of things. Well, there's something deeper, and I think part of that is there's not a sense of purpose. There's not a sense of anything that's true that you can stand on. What is that rock that we stand on? And if there's not a firm foundation, well, then you can have conversations about whether or not a man can have a baby. But if there is some basic fundamental foundations, things that are objectively true that we can base our life on, that we believe the church provides us, that's what we need to be standing on.
I was talking to another young priest a couple of weeks ago here on the program, and talking about there's a view somehow that religious life, or even maybe trying to live a religious life, in doing that is that you're giving up something and not gaining something. I read a quote from somebody that you had a talk with one time, and I'm not trying to quiz you here, but Father Augustine Donegan. And said you were wondering if the priesthood was for you, and maybe it was marriage. And he said, to say no to a marriage is to say no to something good and beautiful. So there should be a little bit of sadness there, but you're choosing what God is calling you to do.
No, that's absolutely right. And Paul, that's just a really good point, that the discernment is always between two goods. I don't have to discern, should I, you know, do something charitable, or should I rob a bank, all right? So discernment is always between two goods. So to say no to a good ought to cause, and the reference you made is, that when I called the Franciscan community, I said I'd like to begin the process of application. There was this kind of sadness or nervousness, and that's what he explained to me. I said, you're saying no to something really beautiful, but you're also saying no, yes, to something really beautiful. But that tension that exists in that is a normal, really wonderful, holy thing, and that ought not frighten me.
Well, Christ clearly was a teacher. Another quote that I read, you said, I believe that God is laying a foundation for the revival of our church. I think it's only a foundation right now, but there's work to do for all of us.
Right, and that takes us back to St. Francis, if you will. Is that St. Francis goes outside the city walls, and what does he find? He finds the poor, the leper, but he also finds little chapels that are in ruins, and that's where he hears the Lord speak to him from the Son Diamond Cross, Francis, rebuild my church. And the reality is that the church, there's always been difficulties. I think there's, in maybe some people's mind, there was this magical time where everything was wonderful. And Augustine says, the people who speak so beautifully about the past, you say that because you didn't live in it, right? But there's always been need for rebuilding and transformation in the church. And Francis embraced that call. To the degree that I'm able to embrace that call, and we at Franciscan University embrace that call.
Father, if somebody wants to know more about Franciscan University, or for that matter, the Franciscans, what can they do?
Sure, if you just go to franciscan.edu, you can find all kinds of information there, or franciscan.tor, you can find information there. So thank you so much for allowing me to plug that.
Oh, absolutely. Sure. Father, thanks very much. Father Dave Pavanka, the president of Franciscan University, joining us. And Father, thank you for joining us. Listeners, thank you for joining us. We hope that you'll tune in again at the same time or online anytime at AM 1260 The Rock. This is AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God Calling.
Thank you for listening to God Calling here on AM 1260 The Rock. This locally produced program is dedicated to looking closer at religious vocations, from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. If you miss any part of today's program, or you just want to listen again, Go to our website, am1260therock.com, and click on the On Demand tab.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Click on the orange donate button at am1260therock.com.